You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast.
If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line.
Keep on the firing line.
There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight,
fight,
be brave,
brave,
against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line.
On the firing line.
If you wear a crown and bear the cross, you must. Keep on the firing line.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight,
fight,
be brave,
brave,
against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line.
Keep on the firing line.
I will praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line.
Keep on the firing line.
When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight,
fight,
be brave,
be brave,
against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
I don't suppose we hear a lot of preaching about it, but living the Christian life is a warfare. And we read in the scriptures that the Lord has provided us the armor that we need, and we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So to live a Christian life, we have to fight. Fight against sin, wickedness, and evil, because there is a wicked power in the world that would try to destroy every Christian. Father, we thank you today for your pure and holy way, and we're thankful for your promise that you would not let us be tempted above that we are able to bear, but that you would with every temptation make a way of escape for us. So we're asking thee to bless our precious congregation today and bless this broadcast to each and to every heart. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This home that I'm building is founded on love. Its timbers are treated with things from above. By faith it is standing, I nailed it with prayer. and Jesus, my Savior, abides with me there. I built a foundation on Jesus, my Lord, my rock of salvation, my shield and my sword. When I'm in the valley and I can't see the top, or if I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the run. It's filled with the praises that comes from my heart, and the forces of evil can't tear it apart. When life storms are raging and they won't seem to stop, I've anchored in Jesus and I'm still on the run. I built a foundation on Jesus, my Lord, my rock of salvation, my shield and my sword. When I'm in the valley and I can't see the top, or if I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock. When I'm in the valley and I can't see the top, or if I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock.
Our subject for today's broadcast, A Conspiracy in the Land. And we are reading from Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning with verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasury and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the strangers and wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And that's reading down through verse 31. As you read the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, you see that God has principles as to how he deals with nations. Now our text gives us a description of the spiritual depravity of Israel. Now America and England are not Israel, even though the late Herbert Armstrong taught that we were two of the 12 tribes. In fact, he taught that we were the two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. But even though that is not true, we are to look at our scriptures today in the light of how God dealt with ancient Israel and learn a lesson from it. For the Bible does say these things are written for our admonition and for our learning. And I think you'll agree with me today that America and the world is in trouble. Verse 24 speaks of the land not being clean. I do not understand this to mean that he's talking about the soil, but he's talking about the spiritual state of the nation. Unwed mothers by the millions, couples shacking up together, not married, divorcing for any cause, adultery, fornication, sex perversions, and we could go on and on speaking about the ills of the nation and world today. And the scripture says the land has not been rained upon. Again, I don't think that Ezekiel is talking about literal rain, but he's talking about people being unhappy, discontented, unsatisfied, hunting pleasure in the abnormal, missing out on the showers of blessings that are available in Jesus Christ. Yes, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Because some people have a lot of material things does not mean that they are happy or that they are satisfied. No, the material things of this world does not bring peace to the soul, and it really doesn't bring true happiness. Now we read also in our text today about devouring prophets. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasury and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. So we read in verse 25. Armstrong, with his own private plane, costing the church that he was ahead of approximately $3 million a year to lease. He attended a banquet over in Jerusalem, I understand, where he paid $2,000 for cufflinks and for tie clasp, and he had banquets for these prime ministers and various ones and gave them very expensive glassware. And while he was sending out letters asking his followers to contribute with their money and pay their tithes, and even sometimes two and three tithes, and even suggested that some go to the bank and borrow money that they might send to his cause while he was living in a luxurious way, living in luxury as they begged their supporters to give out their means to support their cause. And Armstrong was not the only one. There are others that we could speak about today who are living high on the hog, as the saying is, but are trusting the poorer people to support their cause and to give to their cause. Yes, there is a conspiracy in the land, and the prophets, false prophets, are devouring the riches. They're devouring the things of the people. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Here, her priests have violated my law. They have not only disobeyed the law of God in their own lives, How many preachers have been disgraced because they were exposed for their immorality or for their extravagant use of church money and using it in an improper way? Her priests have violated my law. They have not only disobeyed the law of Christ or of God themselves, but they have failed to teach the people the truth. Therefore, they're causing the people to also disobey the law of God. A recent cover story in Time magazine was about a preacher who did not believe there was a hell. And it said he preached to every week. He preached to 7,000 people. You know, beloved, that man's going to have to answer to God in judgment for misleading the people. Of course, the 7,000 that he preaches to is small in comparison to some of them. Some of them have 30,000 supposedly members, and even one preacher out in Texas has 43,000 members of his church. I don't know how he could be a pastor to all of them, but anyway, that's what they say. He has 43,000 members. And what are they doing? Are they preaching the people the truth? Are they teaching them how to live? No. They are violating the law of God themselves and are teaching the people to violate the law. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than any other person that you'll read about in the Bible. And this preacher can preach all he wants to about there being no hell, but that doesn't change the fact. Suppose some do not believe. Does that make void the word of God? No, the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And so I say Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than any other writer in the New Testament. They have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. The word profane means, in part, showing disrespect or contempt for sacred things. Yes, how many preachers are out there leading parades? Yeah, you see them with their collar turned around, as it were, backwards. See them out there leading parades, advocating homosexuality and same-sex couples marrying. And how many stand in their pulpits week after week telling the people we're all sinners? We all sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. Well, if you have to sin, what kind of sins do you have to commit? Do you have to commit adultery? Do you have to commit fornication? Do you have to commit murder? Do you have to commit thievery? Do you have to rob a bank? If you have to sin more or less every day, what kind of sin do you have to commit? You know, beloved, the devil doesn't do any more than that. If he doesn't sin more one day than another, then he sins less. So even the devil sins more or less every day. And people would tell us that we've got to do the same thing. What does it really mean to be a Christian? I understand the word Christian means to be Christ-like. And the Bible tells us that Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Preachers are helping lead marches, I say, in support of homosexuals and lesbians and same-sex marriage and so on and so forth, when they need to be blowing the trumpet and blowing it with a clear, distinct sound so that the people would know when and how to prepare for the battle. As far as homosexuality is concerned, God said it was an abomination in his sight, and I believe God knew what he was talking about, and I believe God meant what he was talking about. But now it isn't just the preachers that are misleading the people and are taking holy things and treating them as though they were unholy things and making no distinction between the holy and the profane. But we also have her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. Now, I am not going to make a blanket statement that all politicians are crooks, but that's what we're talking about here when it talks about her princes, her leaders, her rulers. And I'm not going to say, as I say, make a blanket statement that all of our politicians are crooks, but some are. And many are against righteous principles. And some of the laws that they pass are against righteous principles. And we hear from time to time of members in the Senate, members in the House, resigning because they've been disgraced, misused funds, they've had sexual relations with a member of their staff or someone else. Beloved, they are dishonest princes. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. Thank the Lord. The bill here in the state of Maryland for same-sex marriage was defeated this past year, and I am truly thankful for that. But how many people are out there supporting sin, wickedness, and evil instead of standing up for truth and for right? We've got more people opposing righteousness than there are that are standing for righteousness. And I'm not going to leave out the judges either. You know, they are handing down rulings that are for Satan and for Satan's ungodly ways and against righteous principles. We have it on every hand. There's a conspiracy in the land. It wasn't just Old Testament Israel in the days of Ezekiel. It's still true today. There's a conspiracy in the land against righteousness, against holiness, against purity, against truth, and standing up for that which is ungodly and that which is destructive for the nation and for the people. The people of the land have used oppression and exercise robbery. So we come on down, not only from the preachers and from the politicians, but for the businessman and others too. They have misused funds, and they have had schemes that robbed people. Yes, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. Billions of dollars have been taken from people's saving accounts by crooked business and politicians and preachers as well. So just lap them all together. There's a conspiracy in the land. Sin and wickedness is on every hand. And indeed, sin is a reproach to any people. Now let us go back to the prophets for a moment. Her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar. What's he talking about here? Well, we read also in Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, verses 10 and 11, one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which dabbed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. Now a wall in olden times built around the city was supposed to be there for their protection. And you know, we have a wall of salvation around us if we are a child of God. But here we have people, preachers, prophets, building walls and putting it together with untempered mortar. What's he talking about? He's talking about false doctrine. They are building their walls with false doctrine. And what did the Lord say? He said that they were going, he say unto them, which dabbed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. Yes, they're building walls that will not protect the people. They're teaching them false doctrine that's going to lead them to eternal destruction and damnation rather than to eternal life. A wall is to protect, and the wall of salvation will. But a wall built with using false doctrine will not. It will fall. So will I break down the wall that you have dabbed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered and it shall fall and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof and you shall know that I am the Lord. So we read in Ezekiel chapter 13, and verse 14. And notice the 30th verse of our text today. And I sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. How sad that is. God was forced to punish Israel because he sought a man who would stand in the gap, but he found none. Today, we have so many preachers, so many politicians, and so many business people And so I'm not making a blanket statement of all these, but I'm saying there is a conspiracy in the land, and these things are going on. May God help the true Christian of the land, the salt of the earth, to stand firm for truth and for right, even though there be a conspiracy in the land. Yes, the Christian needs to let his colors fly. He needs to let his light shine. He needs to live the life before the people and show them there is a true way. There is a happy way. There is a holy way. Isaiah the prophet said, there shall be a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for those, the redeemed. The redeemed shall walk there. Yes, there is a highway through this sin, cursed, sin, sick, sin-benighted world. There is a highway that is holy, but only the redeemed own it. Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are going that way. But let me encourage every Christian in my congregation today, stand up for truth and for right. Do not be ashamed of your stand for holiness, for purity, and for truth, for God will be with you. Yes, God said of the land, he was going to have to destroy it because he could not find a man who would stand in the gap and proclaim the truth of the gospel. But I encourage you today, if you are a Christian, stand firm and steadfast and hold up the blood-stained banner and help people to realize and to know that salvation is real and that living a Christian life is the only way to truly be happy and successful in this life and will enable you to have eternal life in the world to come. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit bear witness to the truth, and may good be accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And we have not been critical. We have endeavored to blow the trumpet with a clear sound, and I trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. And if so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, and our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and they are broadcast live over the Internet. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, and if you missed any of our broadcasts, we have an archives there that you can listen to the program anytime. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.
For so long I had searched for lost meaning, enslaved by the world its greed. But the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carry. From from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgave me and now I am free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glory.